Welcome. This is the season of waiting, the solstice waiting for the light of the sun to return, the Hanukkah waiting for the oil to arrive and again fuel our lamps, the Advent waiting for the birth of a Messiah, the waiting for the rose to bloom even in the cold of winter. Let us not rush this time of waiting. Instead, let us light our candles to witness this time, to mark the richness of this practice, and to invite each other to come into this spiritual space and then to guide us on our journey to the holy. This morning, as Sharon Brownfield comes up to light our chalice, I invite you to open your order of service to both chalice lighting words and our covenant. We'll read first the seasonal words of chalice lighting and then go right into the covenant. Candles, fire, and stars. These are the symbols of this most blessed of seasons. Candles for the banishing of darkness. Fires to warm hearth and home. Stars to beckon us, guiding our footsteps to the holiest. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. In ancient times, candles were mounted on wagon wheels that were decorated with evergreens. They were lit during the dark weeks leading up to the winter solstice, when the return of the light was celebrated. Christians adopted a similar tradition of lighting candles during the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, celebrating the light that Jesus brought into the world. Each candle stands for one of the messages of the Advent season. Today, we light two candles. First, we relight the candle that we lit last week for hope. Hope that uplifts our spirit, for the hope that gives courage to those experiencing difficult times, the hope that we claim for ourselves, and the hope that we bring to others in this season. And we light the second candle for the second week for peace of mind and peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes and in our community, and especially for peace in our country and in our world. This morning I'd like to share with you a reading from the Christian Bible. It's from the Gospel of Luke, comes right after the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus is traveling from village to village, preaching and teaching to the crowds. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
My truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feet. taste my strength. Such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as breaks against. Come, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love.
So, are you ready for the holidays? Do you have your shopping done? Have you cleaned the house because company's coming? Are the decorations up? Are the holiday cards in the mail if you still send holiday cards? Are the cookies baked? Are you running around trying to get it all done, getting stressed out, running out of time, upset that other family members are not doing their part? Are you like Martha in the story of Luke's gospel I just shared with you, rushing around to make sure everything is right for the guests, and in doing so, missing the real experience of being present with the guests? All the doing of this season, especially if it's done with family and friends in loving and sharing ways, it can be wonderful. But I think we have to admit, maybe I should say, I know I have to admit, that so often all the things we worry about and rush around to do at this time of year actually obstruct our ability to see and engage with what's really important about this season. Most of us, I think, are haunted at this time of the year by that question, are you ready? Of course, those announcements of how many shopping days there are left to Christmas don't help that haunting sensation any either, do they? But that question, are you ready, can mean many different things, very different things. It can mean, are you spiritually ready for something new to come into your life? In the biblical story you heard this morning, it's Mary's kind of being ready as opposed to Martha's kind of being ready, that is the focus of our Advent Sunday. And what does Mary do to be ready in that story? She just waits, attentively, open and ready to receive something wonderful. And what does Jesus say to these two sisters? He scolds Martha, telling her she's spending her time worrying about unimportant things. She's distracted by too many things. And says that Mary, who's not lifting a finger to help her sister in all the doing, has chosen the better way. Distracted by too many things. Doesn't that sound familiar? Especially at this time of year. Like Martha, we find ourselves doing all the things we think we have to do to be ready. Martha's trying to do the right things, to be ready for her special guests. But in all her doing, she's missing the very thing that she thinks she's preparing for. Her preparation is the wrong kind of preparation. I've got to say that I feel sorry for Martha in this story. And I don't think I'm alone when I say that I identify with Martha in the story. I've been there many times, trying to get things done, rushing around to the point where I exhaust myself and I lose focus on the real event. Poor Martha gets chastised while Mary just waits to hear the word from Jesus, and she's praised for that. It seems a bit harsh. But we know, I think especially at this time of year, somewhere in here we know that there's truth in what Jesus said to her. In that story, we begin to see how it is that a certain kind of waiting is a way to be ready for something special that's about to happen. Every day, especially at this time of year, but every day we're given choices to be a Martha or a Mary. We can get a lot done being a Martha, and Lord knows there's so many things to do. But if we don't take some time to be a Mary, we can entirely miss the powerful message, the spiritual sustenance that this season has to offer. It seems to me that the one essential message of Advent and also of Hanukkah and the solstice, and certainly also in non-Western traditions like Buddhism, is this, that a certain kind of waiting, waiting with expectation, waiting with a sense of receptivity, attentive waiting, is necessary for our spiritual sustenance. Advent tells us that it's not what we do, but how we wait that will determine the quality of our holiday experiences. So being ready is not just about all the doing. It's about the spiritual readiness that comes from a certain kind of waiting. Now, there's all sorts of waiting. There's the mundane waiting, such as when you are on endless hold, calling in about a problem with the cable television or what else. Don't you just love it when they tell you that recording comes on for the 10th time, telling you how important your call is to them? Why don't they hire more people to answer the phone if it's that important? Anyway, there's those annoying ones. And then there's the long lines at checkout counters at the grocery store. Someone laughed when I told them that I sometimes go to the 24-hour grocery store at 11 or 11:30 at night. There's no checkout lines at that time. Waiting can seem like a real waste of time. I heard an amazing statistic not long ago. I read this article that was quoting an efficiency expert. I find this hard to believe and shocking. The average American living today will spend 6 months of his or her life waiting at red lights. Whoa. Waiting associated with ordinary life events is difficult enough. But times when we are anxious, at those times when we may be dreading something, waiting can be particularly difficult, can be unbearable. Now, even though it was quite a few years ago, a long time ago, I can clearly recall a time when I went to my doctor when it was in the height of the days of the AIDS epidemic and I had some symptoms that could be associated with AIDS. And I had my blood drawn and I left to await the results. It was agonizing. For days, I didn't know who I was. Was I a sick and dying person with a horrible disease, which at that time was the prognosis? Or was I basically a healthy person with some silly minor medical problem? I couldn't sleep. And then I began to have sweats at night, which of course I worried was another symptom of the dreaded disease. I got up the morning, the results were ready, and called the doctor, and the nurse said the results wouldn't be available until later in the day. And although I tried to go on with life as usual, I couldn't function all that day. I knew I was supposed to go in person to receive the results. I kept saying, they won't give you bad news over the phone. But nonetheless, I called back, and the nurse finally took pity on me and simply said, it's negative. Of course, there was a great sense of relief. But that period of waiting, whenever I think about waiting, I think about that, was one of the worst few days of my life. And I know that many of you have had those similar experiences. I've waited with some of you for medical tests, for you or for your loved ones. Perhaps you've had to wait for news about a loved one who's been in a dangerous situation, a war zone or a natural disaster. Waiting in those times when we're afraid to learn something about ourselves or others, when we're anxious about what the future may hold, is very stressful. And surely this kind of waiting also does not feel like a very deep spiritual practice or deep faith practice. Neither the annoying mundane waiting nor that anxious waiting seem like they qualify as the kind of waiting that the French philosopher and mystic Simone Weil called the very foundation of a spiritual life. The kind of waiting which she spoke of, the Advent waiting that the mystics and poets and spiritual teachers call us to, is something different. A certain kind of waiting is in fact a central theme, I think, to all great religious traditions. It's a constant thread running through the Hebrew Bible. And of course, it is what connects the Hebrew text to the Christian scripture. Time and again, the psalmists write, "My soul is waiting for the Lord." The message is, in fact, always the same. Good things come to those who wait. And just as the spiritual benefits of waiting are extolled in Scripture, the inability to wait appears as a sign of spiritual weakness and immaturity. The prophets are harsh on those who give up their attentiveness to what is coming. And then there's that famous scene with Jesus in the garden where the disciples repeatedly fall asleep, unable to wait with him. The Christian story, particularly as it's told in the Gospel of Luke, opens, in fact, with everyone waiting. Mary and Elizabeth are waiting for the birth of a child. Simeon and Anna are sitting in the temple waiting for the young Jesus to come to them. While Martha rushes around making sure everything is perfect, Mary, as you heard this morning, is just waiting. But this spiritual waiting is not passive. It's active. Simone Weil, in her book, Waiting for God, says that this kind of waiting is, in fact, more intense than searching. Now, that term, active waiting, may seem like a sort of oxymoron. But I think if you engage in the spiritual practice, you can find it otherwise. Henry Nouwen wrote, "Active waiting means to be fully present to the moment in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present in it." Active waiting is full of expectation. Again, Simone Weil described it as attention animated by desire. I love that expression, attention animated by desire. It cannot be forced upon us like those other kinds of waiting, but it's something that we must choose to engage. Active waiting involves opening yourself up to let something come in. The late UU minister Harry Schofield described meditation as the practice of pausing long enough to let things happen inside you and to come to you. It's just another way of saying that a spiritual practice is essentially about waiting. But it doesn't just happen. You have to prepare yourself to engage in this kind of waiting. How? Rituals of meditation, prayer, readings of scripture or poetry, lighting candles, walks in the woods. All these can help. In Advent, we recognize that something is always waiting to enter our lives. It's not always something we understand. It often may be something we don't expect, but it's a guest. You have to invite the guest within. You have to be prepared to hear the voice you were not expecting, to make the move you had not planned, to find the good and the possible, even in what's been difficult in your life. Welcoming the unexpected is a saving theme in religion, and it can be in all of our lives. You know, if you think about it, Jesus was not the kind of Messiah that the Jews were expecting. Spiritual waiting is an invitation for something to come to you. When you spiritually wait, you invite what is in you to speak. The Sufi poet once described being human as being a guest house, where we must open the door and welcome what comes. In Advent, we are reminded we need to extend that invitation from our very souls. And you can do it in all sorts of ways. We did it this morning a couple of times with that 9th century hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, inviting love and light and truth to come within his dwell. And also in the beautiful words of the 16th century poet George Herbert that Mike sang just before this sermon in that wonderful setting by Ralph Vaughan Williams, come my way, my truth, my life. Or you can just say, hey, I've stepped out of the hectic rush of life, and here I am listening for the still small voice within. You know, Advent is the time before the big holiday, as I mentioned in the children's message, the time when we send out the invitation, the waiting time. The great religious traditions teach us not to have just the great holidays, but also to mark the time leading up to them. We don't just observe Christmas, but we observe the waiting time leading up to it. The practice recognizes that we have to prepare in order to be ready. But I think we become a bit confused about how to prepare. It's not more shopping or more doing, more running around that makes us ready, but it's just waiting itself, waiting in a certain way, attentively, patiently, with hearts open. That's the true preparation. The spiritual practice of waiting involves patience and staying put. You have to be willing to stay where you are, knowing that in the situation you are in, something will happen. You will discover the hidden treasure. You don't have to seek it elsewhere. The message of Advent is that the seed is already planted in you. What is required of you is attentive, patient waiting for the flower of spirituality to grow and bloom. In Advent, we're right at the edge. The rose is a bud. We know it will open, but we can't rush it or force it. So we wait for it to reveal its beauty. And finally, spiritual waiting involves something else. It involves trust. You have to trust that something will happen, and it may not be what you planned. In trusting, you remain open to possibilities. It just doesn't work to control the direction of your waiting. You have to let go of the idea that your will or your sheer determination or your intelligence alone will lead you in a spiritual direction. For a spiritual path to emerge, you need the open space of waiting. Your job is to provide the space to let your heart go where it will. You know, in our tradition, we often describe ourselves as spiritual seekers. And I think we need to let go of that a bit and allow ourselves to be a bit more of attentive spiritual waiters. What Advent teaches us is that the time before, the time leading up to the big event, is just as important as the event itself. No joy of Christmas or solstice or Hanukkah comes into our hearts without preparation, without marking the waiting time in some way. It's why we light the candles, why we open the doors of the Advent calendar, even why we make the cookies. These are ways we get ready, ways we prepare, ways that we wait. If we don't engage in active waiting, it will be very difficult to be ready for what's coming. Oh, you might get a glimpse or maybe even a vague feeling of the Spirit. But the real depth, the insight and joy that's waiting for us only comes if we are in fact prepared for it. So what about you? Are you ready for the bud to open? Are you ready for the joy, the love, the good to come into your life? I know it may not be the best holiday season for some of you. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe you're dealing with physical or mental illness. Maybe you've lost a loved one and the joy in life seems to be gone for good. You may be so overburdened by the pressure of all the doings. All these things make it hard to be ready to welcome what's to come. But the guest is on the way. Or the guests are on their way. Something good is coming. Even and especially if this is a bleak and sad time for you. The real challenge for us is to be in that place where we can see it for what it is and we can receive it. You don't want to miss it. We need that time before the arrival so that we can be ready for what's to come. Advent asks us the question again and again, are you ready for what's coming? So yes, prepare the table, make the home ready, but more importantly, prepare yourself in a time of waiting.